three questions we keep getting hit with, and a question of the day for me has been, as I've met you all today and yesterday, okay, we sort of get what you do, you make a bio-based plastic, what's it made into? That's the question of the day. The question of the month has for sure been, biopreferred, what does it mean the nature works? Why do you care? And the question, the perennial question for us has been, thank you, how does the bio-based value proposition resonate around the world? What do your customers think? Does it have global relevance? What does it mean? So my objective in the next now, thank you, Mike, 10 minutes, is to answer those questions from a global perspective. And I hope in doing so, to continue the shift you've seen and all the previous speakers of moving bio-based and bio-preferred from this hypothetical what can be with bio-based to what is right now on the shelf available to you and I as consumers. That's what I want to show you. So very quickly, a little bit of background on, first, as a sort of ground setting, who we are, what we do. We're NatureWorks. We're the world's first and still proud to be the world's biggest producer of bio-based plastics. We're proud to say, not just the world's biggest bioplastics facility, but a world-scale plastics facility in Blair, Nebraska, amidst the cornfields. Our parent right now, we're fully owned by Cargill, and I'd be remiss if I didn't sort of acknowledge Cargill's investment and vision around what they call the carbohydrate economy. We're one of three businesses they support in the biospace, the others being polyols, going into the urethanes that you just saw mentioned in the Ford cushions, that kind of application, and another, industrial oils and lubricants, where they're soy-based oils and lubricants are a major business. But what I'm going to focus on now is NatureWorks bioplastics production. We make a plastic called Ingeo, and just in very simple terms, this is literally how I explain things to my six-year-old, and he sort of gets it. We're basically, our feedstock, from a global perspective, is last week's greenhouse gas. We're turning the carbon that's causing global warming, we're taking that carbon and we're locking it up as the backbone of a polymer chain that's then going into finished consumer products. We do that simply by pulling out plant starches, turn them into sugars. We ferment those sugars in a process like making beer or wine. We make something called lactic acid. It's what you get in your muscles after a good workout. You find it in yogurt. We make lactic acid on an industrial scale. And then we polymerize it. We turn it into a plastic, Ingeo, which we sell into multiple plastics and fibers end markets, where it's turned into a pretty compelling set of end products. So the so what of this is, because it's bio-based, what does that mean? And this comes to the value proposition. Here we've racked up all the common plastics that you and I would know as consumers, the polyesters, the nylons, the polyethylenes, what you see bags made out of and so on. And the top is Ingeo. This is the carbon footprint. How many pounds of CO2 are pumped into the atmosphere for every pound of plastic made? I think the takeaway is pretty simple. We're not yet greenhouse gas neutral. We're working toward that. We're far and away the lowest carbon footprint there. These other plastics are great. They perform well. But there is a hidden carbon footprint going on when they're made. So enough about who we are, what we do, and sort of what it means in terms of Enviro credentials. I want to talk about what's happening in the market and why we are passionately excited about it. We broadly are in six distinct market categories around the world. Three of these are packaging focused. One is food service, where no better evidence than what you ate off of today at lunchtime. The third is nonwovens and fibers, and the last, durable plastics, which is our most nascent and fastest growing. And what I want to do is just highlight, give you sort of an anchor point with a globally relevant brand I think most of you will recognize in each one of these segments to show you what's real at the consumer level today. So let's start with Stonyfield, leading organic farmer here. What they did last fall is announced the replacement of all of their polystyrene cups, large majority of their polystyrene cups, with Ingeo. What we love, and a nod here to Clearlam, one of the other 11 companies being recognized today, who are the key guy that took the plastic pellets we sell and turned them into a performance yogurt cup. And I love the quote from CEO Gary Hirschberg here, talking about green. He literally called it a win-win-win-win. It's lower carbon. Its performance is better. They have better shelf life, less breakage, better yields on their yogurt and shipping, and basically price neutral, which is absolutely key. And Gary threw down the gauntlet at the Natural Products Show last fall and challenged the industry to follow his lead. And I'm proud to say no one other than their owner, Danone, today in Germany, has literally made a consumer announcement that they're changing the Activia yogurt cup in Germany to this same construct, an Ingeo cup. So it shows the extent to which we have a global market and are fueling a large export market with Ingeo. Another sort of everyday example, you'll find this at every Walmart around the country. Again, from that same converter, Clearlam, a great innovator. This clear, rigid packaging is what Jan showed this morning. A very iconic paper cup. Most folks think paper, great, bio-based. Until recently, that paper cup has always been lined with an oil-based plastic. Now, Coke has launched it with an Ingeo-lined version that, when needed, it can be composted. Very sort of iconic. Obviously, iTunes. Apple's not unique, but really leading in the industry in the move to get away from a plastic called PVC. For many reasons, folks, the industry want to get off of that. Here, they've gotten rid of the PVC card, and this is the same sort of substrate you'd use for a credit card, for your gift card, whatever. Here in iTunes, it's now NGO-based, and the message from them is quite simple. It's NGO, it's plant-based. I suspect most of you have heard about or heard this bag, Sunchip, and pun fully intended there for those of you who have heard the ruckus around it. This was a bag that moved quickly to being essentially 100% NGO. It was a noisy bag, an interesting one. It got love-hate relationship with the consumer because it was compostable, yet it was noisy. We've worked with Frito-Lay in the last 6 months. They now relaunched that bag. It's what you ate back there today. It's a much quieter formulation. It's still compostable. What was lost amidst all that noise was that while they were doing that, the rest of the industry was quietly innovating away on their own. Snyder's of Hanover doing something similar, different supply chains, but a very high bio-based content with India. And most recently, none other than Target, with their private house label brand, going to a partially bio-based NGO construct. What we're most excited about is the new markets we're getting into with not just single-use packaging, but durable products. And these are, again, real. They're not on the shelf. Some of these are not even consumer products, business products. But these are now becoming bio-based. Here's a great example from Kimberly-Clark. Those of you with young kids will know this well. The diaper is a wonderful thing, totally Petra-based, until KC came up with this now, where the non-woven fabrics are NGO-based. And I'm not speaking out of school to say the folks up the street here in this state, P&G, are obviously quite interested in this as well. And last but far from least, the first new fiber to come along in 30 years has really set the apparel world's imagination on fire, starting, as most things do, first with fashion. So here you see, actually, on the left, this is a runway show organized alongside the COP15 climate change conference a year ago in Copenhagen, where the fashion industry got its head around the carbon footprint of what they were doing and organized a runway show fully based on renewably based fabrics. So I've gone through sort of, as I call it, anchor points across all the industries and end markets we sell into. A couple of explicit takeaways, because I don't want this to sound like an infomercial. These aren't our products. They're our partners and the innovators we sell to. They're what are turning these products into compelling consumer products. A key takeaway, I think I'd challenge you all to say, what I just showed you wasn't a litany of green products. What I just showed you was a set of gorgeous products that perform well, they look and they feel good, and they've got environmental performance to boot. Until now, communicating that environmental performance has been a challenge. It's been across so many different market segments, so many different products. It's been a huge challenge, and that's why, in a nutshell, we're excited about bio-based. The other point I want to get across, I think you saw it if you kept a running list of those brands you just saw. A lot of them were not U.S. brands, and what this gets at is where are we shipping our product from Blair, Nebraska? We've got 140,000 ton per year facility making NGO. Quick snapshot right now of where we're going. We like the fact that it's pretty balanced. Roughly 50% is fueling a huge downstream market. Some of the folks right here in the state of Ohio are turning it into finished goods. We're also fueling a strong export market, which begins to redress some of the imbalance over the last 30 years with import-export. Lastly, last point here, and give me a quick time check, Mike. Good. I focused, of course, on where the product comes from. It's bio-based. But there's something unique to the NGO we make. I've said this once, and this is not intended to be a chemistry lesson. As I explained, we make the polymer, the plastic, from lactic acid. Lactic acid turns into something the chemists call poly... My slide isn't building right, but something the chemists call polylactide, a long chain. The beauty of this system is that the system can be reversed. You can drive this back to the building block of the polymer very easily. And we do this. This is what is enabling what we think is going to be a whole new model for recycle. We're not recycling plastic to plastic, but we're recovering the feedstock, recovering the basic building block of the plastic, and then we can make it into any material. It's nascent, but it's starting. We've run recycled lactic acid from the market back through our facility. No better example of this than what happened again a year ago in Copenhagen. Here you see Obama, some of the delegates sitting on, and the carpet there is, it's a trade show carpet, something that's typically used 3 days, rolled up and landfilled, typically PET, quite a different construct than our carpet friends just explained to you. This is now being made out of 100% NGO non-woven, and what happened here after the COP15 was it was rolled up, taken to Belgium by a third party, turned back into lactic acid, and sold into end markets for lactic acid. So we like it in that it's feedstock agnostic. We'll take a package, a T-shirt, carpet, and turn it back into the building block and remake it. That is what's the other piece that's got us excited. So let me just wrap up. NGO and bio-preferred, why are we excited? I think what I hope to get across with that set of products you showed was the variety of what's there. And what it, I think, really gets at squarely to us is how much you and I as consumers, until very recently, have been so very unaware of how everything we take so much for granted in our everyday lives has been petrol-based. And let's be specific. From the bed I sleep in, the mattress, the fiberful cover, the pillow, polyester, the carpet I stand up on, nylon, the clothes I pull on my body, the packaging I eat my food out of, the car I drive in, all oil-based, fantastic plastics, but they're coming from a limited raw material, they have an environmental burden with them. And that is where NGO is starting to redress that, putting it where it works. It's not a one-size-fits-all. There's a variety of plastics for a good reason. This is a unique set of properties. It works in some places, not in all. But the challenge, I think, recently has been the consumers are becoming more and more aware of where the things they come from, where the things they buy are coming from, and yet there's been no common way of communicating that. And I don't. This has been so well said by previous speakers, I don't need to explain it. You get what the label's for. For us, it's very simple. It gets away from what the major brands we work with complain about, which is the NASCAR effect. So many stickers on the product, how to communicate simply. Here's one authoritative metric, which is why we are passionate about it. And I'll wrap up just by extending a huge thank you to the BioPreferred team. I think you did a wonderful job in a very pragmatic way. So thank you.